When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
We've discussed many stories on this show, some of them gory, some horrifying, some scandalous, and some sad. But I want to remind you that our past is not all bad. We've got some wholesome moments too. And today I want to tell you some stories that really reflect that. Welcome back, friend, to Hometown History. Where today, we're doing something a little different. Instead of one story, we're going to look at three, which echo the kindness, creativity, and community spirit that are integrated into America's culture and identity. Let's start with a story about two remarkable sisters, Mildred and Patty Hill, whose song we sing more often than any other. Yet few of us know their names. You've probably sung it yourself, the Happy Birthday song. But did you know it started with a different set of words meant to brighten the morning of young students? Back in 1893, in a classroom in Louisville, Kentucky, Patty Hill, a pioneer in early childhood education, and her sister Mildred, a talented musician, created a rather simple song called Good Morning to All. The idea was to provide a warm, welcoming start to the day for Patty's kindergarten students. She wanted to craft songs that were suited to the magical abilities of young children, so as to enhance their educational experience through engaging, easy-to-learn melodies. It's the same tune as the Happy Birthday song, but the original lyrics were good morning to you, good morning to you, good morning dear children, good morning to all. So the question here is, how did this classroom greeting become a birthday song? Even though the exact moment of transformation remains a bit of a mystery, local legends in Louisville suggest it might have happened during a birthday celebration at a little cabin known as the Little Loom House. Apparently at a party, someone spontaneously changed the morning greeting into a birthday wish. And just like that, a new tradition was born. Pretty soon, the song began to gain popularity in this new form. As more people heard and enjoyed this new version, it started to spread beyond the initial gathering. The catchy tune and celebratory words were easy to remember and sing, making it a perfect fit for birthday celebrations. And just like that, with no planning whatsoever, this adaptation transformed from a fun variation at a local party into the Happy Birthday song that we all know and love today. As you all know, this new version became the standard to birthday cake celebrations across the globe, establishing itself in cultural traditions as the definite birthday anthem. But this success came at a cost. With this new tradition, the contribution of Mildred and Patty Hill dissolved somewhere in the past. It was not that they pinned down a tune, but they had some major contributions in the field of education. Patty was a visionary in the field and advocated for a learning environment that valued creativity and emotional well-being as much as academic skills. And her sister Mildred was much more than a composer herself. She was a musical prodigy and a keen observer of cultural trends. From her studio, she could hear the melodies sung by Black street vendors, which influenced her understanding and appreciation of emerging American music styles like blues and jazz. She believed these sounds were an important part of America's musical landscape and deserved to be preserved. Despite their significant contributions, the Hill Sisters are often just a footnote in history. But I did promise you only wholesome stories today. So don't worry, it doesn't end there. In their hometown of Louisville, a group called the Happy Birthday Circle is working to change that. They're raising funds to build a public tribute at Waterfront Park, hoping to give the sisters the recognition they deserve. So the next time you sing Happy Birthday, maybe give a little nod to Patty and Mildred, the sisters who started it all right in the classroom, hoping to make every child's day a little brighter. The next story takes us to a figure from American folklore whose name might ring a bell, Johnny Appleseed. If you have an Apple iPhone or Mac laptop or an iCloud account, you've definitely seen this name as the default name when signing up or logging in using an Apple device. Although the story of Johnny Appleseed is often the thought of just a legend or a tall tale, there was actually a real person named John Chapman behind it, someone who left a rather enduring legacy across the American frontier with something as simple yet essential as apple trees. Born in Massachusetts in 1774, Johnny didn't stay put for long. After losing his mother early on, he and his half-brother traveled west in the 1790s. Johnny's life on the frontier began with a simple yet important mission: to plant nurseries. He began this mission in Pennsylvania and soon expanded into Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, and even parts of Ontario. Unlike the common image of him scattering seeds randomly, Johnny's method was more systematic and sustainable. He would travel across these lands, carefully selecting spots that were ideal for the growth of apple trees. Once he chose a location, Johnny would clear a small area and plant his apple seeds. He then constructed fences around these nurseries to protect the young saplings from livestock and wild animals. This basically ensured that the trees could grow without disturbance. Then these nurseries were left in the care of a local neighbor who would look after them in exchange for a share of the income from the trees once they began to produce apples. But that's not it. Johnny would make regular return visits to these nurseries to prune and care for the trees, ensuring their health and vitality. His work was extremely significant in that he introduced apple trees to large, previously unsettled areas, contributing to the development of these regions. Ultimately, the apples from these nurseries provided food and a source of income for many early settlers and helped to establish a stable food supply, which was crucial for the survival and growth of these communities. But Johnny Appleseed wasn't just about apples. He was a pioneer of conservation and a missionary for the new church, spreading not only seeds, but also spiritual teachings. His approach to life was as fertile as the orchards he planted. He believed in kindness, often trading tree saplings for clothing or a meal, wearing his iconic tin pot hat and always barefoot, come rain or snow. And his personality, historian Paul Aaron said, Chapman was actually a successful businessman. He bought many of the parcels of land on which he planted his seeds and ultimately accumulated about 1,200 acres across three states. He wore pauper's clothing by choice and not out of necessity. Kind of sounds like another visionary we know, right? Someone very close to apples, too. With that image in mind, Johnny's travels and the stories he left behind turned him into a legend. You can imagine him walking into a town, a known figure with his sack of apple seeds, ready to preach or plant as the moment required. He was a friend to all, human and animal alike. And with a legacy that vast, he deserves to be known. And that is where Apple Incorporated comes in. In today's digital age, Johnny's spirit lives on. Intriguingly enough, through something as simple as a placeholder name in tech demos, John Appleseed. It's Apple's subtle nod to a nurseryman who left a lasting mark on America's history. The idea is that every time you see that name, you remember Johnny Appleseed, the man who planted hope across America, one apple at a time. As we delve into the corridors of history, let's not forget our faithful companions, whose health is paramount. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says that she is seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health, their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also supports the Jason Dubas Heigl Foundation, which also helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. My own journey with Badlands Pets has been enlightening. Seeing my dog thrive on Superfood Complete fills me with joy, knowing that I'm providing him with the best nutrition possible. Go to badlandsranch.com/hometown and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/hometown today.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
And now, the last story is about one of America's most iconic symbols, the Statue of Liberty. This is a story of how Lady Liberty was nearly left without a pedestal to stand on, and how the collective power of small donations made a monumental impact. This was, in essence, America's first major crowdfunding campaign. Let's start from the beginning. On June 17, 1885, a French ship, the Isere, arrived in New York Harbor, carrying a special load. Over 200 crates, packed with large copper and iron fragments. When put together, these pieces would create the magnificent sculpture known as Liberty Enlightening the World, or what we today recognize as the Statue of Liberty. The concept of the statue emerged in 1865 when French historian and abolitionist Edward de Laboulaye, suggested creating a monument. He wanted it to mark the 100th anniversary of U.S. independence in 1876, celebrate the strength of American democracy, and honor the freeing of the slaves. As you all might know, this was a gift designed by French sculptor Frederick Auguste Bartholdi that symbolized friendship and democracy. A sweet sentiment indeed, but there was a catch. The U.S. needed to build a base for her to stand on, a granite pedestal that came with a hefty price tag of about $250,000, which would be roughly $80 million today. So obviously, it was a pretty substantial amount to raise. The task of raising these funds fell to the American Committee of the Statue of Liberty. But they faced a tough challenge. With fundraising efforts stalling and no agreement on a public funding solution, cities like Baltimore and Boston even offered to take the statue off New York's hands. So if New York hadn't gotten themselves together, the iconic statue might have gone somewhere else. Luckily, when things seemed bleak, Joseph Pulitzer stepped in. A name you might recognize from the prestigious Journalism Award. Pulitzer, who owned the newspaper The New York World, saw an opportunity not just to save the statue, but to involve ordinary people in its story. He launched a fundraising campaign right in the pages of his newspaper, turning what could have been a forgotten cause into a headline story that captured the imagination of the city and beyond. Pulitzer's campaign was a masterclass in community involvement. People from all walks of life, businessmen, street cleaners, politicians, and even children started chipping in. And you know what the beauty of it was? Most donations were less than a dollar, mostly from children. But it enabled them to say they helped build the pedestal for one of the most iconic symbols of freedom in the world. Wouldn't that be an amazing story to tell? The campaign quickly gained momentum, and the stories of these small donors were as diverse as could be. It varied from a family in Jersey City who donated whatever small change they could gather, to the mayor of Buffalo who donated his entire annual salary. It truly showed a collective spirit of generosity that defined the campaign as much as it built the pedestal. By August of 1885, Pulitzer's newspaper had raised a little over $100,000, which was enough to cover the last portion needed to complete the pedestal, and even left some money for a gift to the sculptor. So just like modern crowdfunding platforms today, Pulitzer used compelling stories and regular updates to keep the momentum going, showing that this model of fundraising wasn't just effective, but also deeply engaging for everyone involved. And with that, the Statue of Liberty turned into a symbol not only of freedom and democracy, but also of the power of a community to achieve something extraordinary together. And a reminder that even the smallest contribution can be part of something grand, something enduring. And that wraps up today's episode. I hope you feel more cheerful and more connected to the wholesome yet quieter parts of American history. I do believe it's important to learn lessons from our past, but every once in a while, it's also good to look back and appreciate it. Thanks for listening to Hometown History. Be sure to follow along for more interesting stories from the past.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, Our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.